Gathering the Lord's house this beautiful Sunday morning to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to experience the Spirit this day. However, next Sunday you will not see me behind the pulpit. I will actually be on vacation next Sunday, Hines will be here to lead behind the pulpit as he preaches next Sunday. So come out and support Terry as he leads God, as he shares God's word next Sunday morning for that. He's wonderful behind the pulpit. Again, you've heard him preach him before, former pastor at First United Methodist Church of Elon, near and dear to our hearts, married to Jeannie Dupree Huff Hines. Dupree family's obviously been a part of our church for many, many years. So come out next Sunday and support Terry and enjoy that time of worship next Sunday morning. Again, tonight at 5 p.m., Elon Roundtable meeting upstairs in our fellowship hall. We'll hear many things discussed, stewardship updates, updates from our building and grounds, including our parking lot. Tonight we'll also be voting on some changes to our bylaws. Received some of those changes by email. Also in the foyer this morning, there's been some additional minor adjustments to those as well. You'll hear about those tonight at 5 p.m. upstairs in our fellowship hall. I also want to remind you that this Sunday is the deadline to turn in those names for our deacon nominating team. The team has met. They're we'll be collecting those names and discussing those names for our upcoming year for our deacons. For the 2021 and 2022 year. Those ballots are in our foyer today. If you have not written down a couple of those names, please pick one of those ballots up today. You can write them down in the foyer and then drop them in our offering plate this morning. You can also write them down, take it home with you, write them down and bring them tonight to our roundtable meeting and drop them off. But we do need those ballots back today so our deacon nominating team can get to work in discussing those names and making some phone calls over the next couple weeks. Be in prayer for that team. Be in prayer that maybe if your name is called and you are called by that team, that God may be calling you to serve as a deacon over the next couple of years. Also, I want to remind you this morning about our missions gatherings during the months of June and July. You heard me talk about that last week, that we have two gatherings that we're doing during the month of June and July. During the month of June specifically, we're collecting items for the Alamance Regional Charitable Foundation. Last month, we collected items for their baby boxes that they give to new moms. This month, we're collecting items for the new patient bags that they give out. Those items can be dropped off in the container at the end of our hallway this morning. You can drop those off during the entire month of June. Swing by the church office this week. In the coming weeks, just drop some of those items off. You can find those lists on the back of your bulletin and in your newsletter, in your June newsletter. Also, we're collecting snack items and drink items for Camp Greenleaves. In just a couple weeks, we will be the host site for Camp Greenleaves, a camp for physically and mentally handicapped children. We'll be hosting that camp for 4 weeks this summer. And we look forward to opening our doors to them. And this is one way that we can offer and being good hosts for this camp. The containers for those items are upstairs in the fellowship hall. There's two big clear items. We want to keep those bins full during the upcoming weeks in June and July. So bring those items by any time to the church on Sunday morning during the week as well. We'll make sure they get to where they go. Those are the collections we're doing during the month of June. Many other opportunities coming up in the next couple weeks. Make sure you keep a careful look in your newsletter for those opportunities and be active. Be an active part of our congregation as we seek to honor God through our study, through our worship, and through our missions opportunities. Now, let's sing praise to God. Let's stand and worship our Lord together this morning.
Our opening song this morning is one you know very well, 10,000 Reasons. Let's worship together.
Oh,
scripture reading comes from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 13. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. As we reflect on that eternal building that was built by God's hand and his work in us today, as we achieve that, let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, giver of life and faith, thank you for the spirit of grace which enables us to believe. May we have the same spirit of faith as he who wrote, I believed and so I spoke. We believe too, Father, and so let us speak. Let us sing. Let us praise you this morning. We believe, we know that you, the God who raised the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will raise us with Jesus and bring us into his presence. As your grace extends to us, more and more people, may they pour out their thanksgiving and praise to your glory. We pray this in the name of the one who intercedes for us, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is probably one of my most favorite hymns, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And you know what the
ministry highlight this morning, I want to touch on what we're going to be studying over the next month here at First Baptist Elon. But this past week, we wrapped up our Wednesday night Bible study, what we've been doing on Facebook Live, as we took a line-by-line look at the Lord's Prayer. That's why we've been using the Lord's Prayer during the worship service over the last month. We'll be continuing to do so on a regular basis here at First Baptist Elon. If you did not have an opportunity to join us for that study, I want to encourage you to find some time over the next couple months to go to our Facebook page. If you have access to Facebook, go to the Facebook page. Find whatever time works for you to look through those sessions on our Facebook page. And really listen to the meaning behind, the significance behind the words that Jesus taught us to pray. Many of us learned the words from the Lord's Prayer when we were children, when we were teenagers growing up. We were ingrained in us by our parents or our grandparents, or learned them in RAs or GAs. I know that's where I learned the Lord's Prayer, was in RAs at Connect Memorial Baptist Church, but I never remembered or learned the significance behind the words. But I encourage you to find some time over the next couple weeks or months to listen to those words and find out why Jesus taught us to pray the words he specifically told us to pray. But we're going to go in a little bit different direction over the months of the summer. Many of us vacation during the summer. I'll be going on vacation at the end of this next week, and throughout the summer we'll be escaping a couple times to get out of town with my family. And so I didn't want to do a week-by-week study where we'd have to be here for a couple weeks, take a break, pick right back up when I got back. And so instead of doing a week-by-week study on Wednesday nights, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to read a book each month during the summer months. So during the month of June, we're going to read a book, and then we're going to get together and talk about it. During the month of July, we're going to read a book and get together and talk about it one time during the month. So we're going to do some interesting reading during the month, during these months. It's not going to be just, all right, we're going to read a hard-hitting, heavy theological book, and then I'm going to browbeat you over the head about what God wants you to think about that. That's not who I am. Well, actually, that's who I am, but I'm not going to do that. But so for the month of June, we're going to read a very interesting book by a Christian classic, by one of the great Christian writers of all time, I personally believe, by a man by the name of C.S. Lewis. If you've ever read any Christian fiction, you've probably read The Chronicles of Narnia. That's written by C.S. Lewis, great author, great writer, but wrote also many other great books. This book, on the other hand, takes a little bit different direction. C.S. Lewis wrote a number of books, and there's actually a great set of books, about six books, and this is one of them that if you go to Google search C.S. Lewis books, you'll get a book of a collection of about six books. I encourage you to read them all. This one takes a different approach to talking about faith and the things that we as Christians face on a day-to-day basis. The way he approaches our faith is this. He writes this from the perspective of a demon who is working in your life trying to junk up your faith. Written from the perspective of a young demon who is fresh into the perspective of working for the devil, trying to mess your faith up, there is a mentor demon by the name of Screwtape who is writing this letter to this young demon by the name of Wormwood. And he is trying to mentor him in the process of messing up your faith. And it talks about how Christians, the things that we do that really gets on demons' nerves, all those things that we should be doing. But it also talks about from the perspective of some of the things that gets in our way, the roadblocks of Christianity. If you've never had a chance to read this book, it's well worth it. It's an easy read. It's letters written back and forth from its two demons. But I encourage you to read this with me during the month of June. It's not a very expensive book. You can order it on Amazon. You can go pick it up at Barnes & Noble. I think somebody said they actually found it at Hobby Lobby this past week. Pick it up, read it, and then join me in the prayer garden on Wednesday, June 30th at 10 o'clock. We're going to gather there, have a discussion about it, informal discussion, bring a picnic. We've actually, John Farnham purchased some umbrellas, so we'll have some shade out there now. So join me in the garden on June 30th at 10 o'clock. Let's discuss this book, let's have some lunch, and let's enjoy and see what God may be speaking to you through this book this month, during the month of June. July, we'll read something different, maybe a different direction, but I encourage you to join with me in this time of discussion during the summer months. Now at this time, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we reflect on the offerings we bring to God this morning. Father God, we give thanks to you this morning. We are thankful for your steadfast love. Worship is a time to offer praise and glory to you. We praise you by singing. We praise you through prayer. We praise you in service. This offering this morning is a worshipful moment of praise as well, an intentional opportunity to practice hospitable generosity. We praise that the gifts that we bring to you today may help our church fulfill its purpose on a daily basis. Even more today, Father, we pray that you invite us to use our talents in humble ways to help our church fulfill its purpose in this world. Use these offerings to your service this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Bert, for the beautiful, special music this morning. This time, close your eyes for a time of prayer before we encounter God's word this day. O Lord, our God, we come to you at this time seeking to rise up from the depths and agony of despair. Please listen, our saving God. We need your help and blessing. Listen to the prayers of our heart in this moment of silence right now. therefore we place our entire trust this day and hope in you, our trustworthy God. We gather to offer you our thanks and our praise, for we know that you offer us your unfailing love and mercy that is beyond our understanding. You know our longing for forgiveness, and you offer us your presence, which blesses us from God's overflowing store of mercy, hope, freedom, and joy. Thank you this day for your unending generosity. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. No one likes the wait, right? Amen? Many of you were starting to feel rather uncomfortable waiting for me to speak the first words of my sermon this morning, right? Amen? I was starting to feel really uncomfortable waiting for my first words of the sermon this morning. I want to get myself on that one. We live in a world of being uncomfortable when we have to wait. But waiting is inevitable. Just think about it. We wait in traffic. We wait in line at the bank. We wait in line at the grocery store. We wait in the waiting room at the doctor's office. We wait patiently, for our spouse or our kids to walk out the door. We wait for an expecting baby. We wait for a pending grade. We wait for our car to get fixed. We wait for the next bill to come in the mail. We wait for medical test results. No matter what we are waiting for, one fact is for sure. Waiting is not easy. Statistics have shown that the average human being spends at least, and I say that with those two words, at least 1 hour each day waiting on something. Elevators, traffic lights, your turn at the intersection, your turn to pay at the grocery store, a cup of coffee, your table at a restaurant, the microwave to warm up your food. And remember, the microwave was created so you didn't have to wait, right, because of the oven. The list goes on and on. We wait at least 1 hour every single day. However, and you might not think about it, 1 hour is not really that long, right? 1 hour in a day. If you live to be 70 years old, and I just saw some looks on their face, 70, I passed that a few years ago. If you live to be 70 years old, you will have spent at least 3 full years of your life waiting. 3 full years. Think about all the things you could have done in those 3 years, right? The real problem for humans today, especially Christians, is not not the problem. It's what happens inside of us. It's what happens in our hearts when we have to go through the waiting. So this morning, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture, a psalm, Psalm 130, that hopefully might give us a new perspective on waiting. And some of us, including myself, need to take a few notes this morning and take home with us the next time we're sitting in traffic. Put it somewhere that you can see it so you'll remember it as we go on. And Jerry, I said that just for you, okay? Yeah, he's smiling back there. Let's see what words of advice the psalmist provides for us as we look at the Song of Ascent he wrote in the Old Testament this morning as we reflect on the call to wait. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 130 this morning. Now, just to understand about where this psalm falls in the collection of the 150 psalms we find in the Old Testament. The Song of Ascent, were a set of 15 psalms that were traditionally sung as priests entered the temple. These were the songs as they processed in, the prelude music as they walked in. They were trying to prepare themselves to encounter God. So these were the songs that were sung by those walking in. Also, as the Jewish people pilgrimaged to the Holy Land, these were the songs that were sung as they walked into Jerusalem. So they had high esteem. We're talking high church, high and holy moments in the life of the Jewish people. Psalm 130. Now, some scholars believe might have been penned by David. In your Bible, some of them are said penned by David. This one is not designated that way. Some scholars debate that maybe it was. So we may talk about that a little bit in the sermon today. But anyway, if this carries the idea of, it's a range of emotion song. We go from the depths of emotion of distress and guilt of shame and sin to the forgiveness of the Father and finally to the waiting promise of redemption to the nation. So we go from the depths to the forgiveness motion to the promise that is coming from God. That's why you can imagine that. Think about walking into the church and all the struggles that you're bringing with you. You're at the depths. And then the service is escalating. And all of a sudden, you start feeling God moving. And all of a sudden, those depths are being taken away. And by the time you leave, you're going out with the Spirit filling you. Imagine that thought as you're reading Psalm 130 this morning. So reading from God's Word this day. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. The first point that this psalm teaches us about that thing about waiting is that waiting requires both patience and trust. Now, when we think about waiting, we oftentimes think about that patience. Like, it's got to be patient. We also have to have trust. Waiting is the process of becoming what God wants us to be. It's not the process of getting where we want to go. We change that. Waiting is the process of becoming what God wants us to be, not where we want to go. King David knew this lesson all too well. Many of us sitting here today know this lesson all too well. We are a work in progress. What God does in us while we wait is as important as what we are waiting for. Did you ever think about that? What God is doing while we are waiting is sometimes as important or more important than the destination that we're waiting
on. Isn't this the method God took with Abraham as he was taking him to the land he promised him and his family? Isn't this the method God took with Moses as he journeyed him and the Israelites through the desert? Remember, Moses never took a step into the promised land. Isn't this the same method God took with Paul when he made him the apostle to the Gentiles? Isn't this the method God takes with each and every one of us? Sometimes we don't even see. That trust that we have to put in God is a patient trust. Whether it has to do with our relationships with others, our finances, our careers, our dreams, or even our church ministries, we have to trust that God knows what he is doing more so than we know what we are doing. Do you have the patience to trust God that he knows what he is doing? That's the first thing we have to ask ourselves when it comes to waiting. Do you have the patience to trust God that he knows what he is doing? But it doesn't stop there. The second point that Psalm 30 teaches us about waiting is that waiting reminds us that God, not us, is in control. Oftentimes the question arises when we are in the midst of waiting, but what do I do while I wait? You know, I have hands, tapping feet, got to do something, got to be moving, got to get to do something. I just can't just sit here and wait on God. Can't wait on God, right? Can you wait on God? Are we called to wait on God? Yeah. Idle hands. Psalm 130 encourages us that during those times of waiting, we ought to take the active role of a watchman. It's no coincidence that we're given this image that in biblical times was very active for those who are reading this. Sometimes we get lost in translation, but let's recapture that image today. Back in biblical times, watchmen vigilantly guarded a city. And I use that word vigilantly because they actively did nothing. They actively did nothing. What does that mean? It was a watchman's job to stand on the outer wall of a city for any enemies who might try to attack during the night. That was their job, to sit on the wall and to watch. When the time the sun went down, from the time the sun came up, their eyes peered out into the darkness to make sure nobody attacked. It was their job to stay alert, to stay obedient, ready to respond when needed. But if nobody came, guess what their job was? Nothing. They were actively, vigilantly sitting there, standing. When they were called upon, they sprung into action. On the other hand, it was not the job of the watchman to make things happen. They did not control the rising of the sun. They didn't go and say, "Hey, God, speed it up. Speed it up so my job is done." How many of us do that? "Hey, God, speed it up. Come on. I want to get to work. Let me get it over." It was not their job to control the setting of the sun. "Hey, God, I want to get to work. Set the sun so I can get back to my post." It was not their job to go out seeking out enemies to go, "Hey guys, attack the wall so I'll have something to do." It was not their job. Their job was to stand on the wall and to watch. To actively, vigilantly watch and be patient. They knew the difference between their job and God's job. Waiting reminds us that we are not in charge. We are the patients in the waiting room. In the real issues of life, we can trust God's wisdom and his timing and wait with confidence. Waiting reminds us that we are not in the position of God. We shouldn't be in the position of God. We can't handle the position of God. As humans, we want to fix things, fix our problems, fix other people's problems, fix relationships, fix conflicts, fix careers, fix church matters. But fixing and controlling situations and people is like trying to expedite the rising of the sun. Last I checked, we can't do that. We can't do that. From time to time, we have to be reminded that that's not our job. Our job is to be the watchman. We have to have the watchman's attitude, a confident and alert expectation that God will do what he said he would do. The last point that Psalm 130 teaches us about waiting is that waiting on God increases our strength. How many of us here today would turn down a little extra strength if God offered it to us? I don't see any hands. I guess I'll put my hand down because I wouldn't turn it down. We wouldn't turn down strength if it was offered to us by God. That's what God offered us in the time of waiting. My guess is that none of us are ever at a point where we're fully charged and we don't need any more. Sometimes we struggle to remember that it's good to wait for the Lord. It's not easy. Waiting goes against the grain of society, and society beats us down. It drains us. But what does God do? In the midst of waiting, he is our power source. There is a hidden benefit in the midst of waiting in the Lord. In times of waiting, our inner soul is revived and our spirit is renewed. Like a cell phone being recharged, that's what it's like when we wait in the Lord. When we try to do it our own, it's like not charging your phone for a couple days. And I don't know any cell phone that lasts a couple days without recharging. If you have one of those, let me know. I'm going to call my cell phone carrier. Prophet Isaiah wrote these words, "But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." The time will come when those who wait on the Lord will soar. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. It may not be next week. It may not be this month, this year, this decade. But I want to remind you, I may not understand what you have been waiting for. To get married, peace in your family, a new job, healing from a medical condition. I may not understand what you're waiting for, but I do know this. There is one thing I am certain of. God knows what it is. And God's working on it. God knows the timing. And God's time is the best time. And God's time will never disappoint. Because guess what? He's the one in charge of the rising of the sun and of the setting of the sun. He's the one who controls the clock, not you and not I. This morning, don't forget, wherever you are in the waiting process, that God is the great mover. And if we wait in patient trust, remembering that God is in control, doing his work, increasing our strength, we will experience the move of God on our lives. Just remember, the disciples had to wait. The disciples had to wait for 3 days. For 3 days, they didn't know what to do. They were antsy. They were twiddling their fingers, tapping their feet, not sure, wanting to abandon it, what they do, wanting to attack. They didn't know what to do. But in 3 days, God, who controlled the setting of the sun and the rising of the dawn, had the sun rise. And he changed the world, not just for them, but for us. Boy, I'm glad they waited, because it changed our world today. So let's not forget, sometimes it's our call know. And Father, wherever we are, I just pray that we allow ourselves to be patient and trust that you have it under control. Increase our strength in the midst of this waiting. Allow us to put our trust in you. May we be vigilant in that waiting, knowing that you are under control. And Father, wherever it leads, whenever this time of waiting ends, may our full trust and faith be in you when we come to that destination. Father, thank you. Thank you for being that source of strength. Thank you for being the one that we can trust every single day, every second of every single day. We lift this prayer to you. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to the time of closing this morning, as we sing our closing hymn, maybe you are at a point in your life that you did not realize who controls it all. Maybe today is the first time you recognize that God is in control and that you're ready to turn your ultimate trust and faith in him. I'll be down front. Come talk with me. Let me talk to you about what it means to turn your life over to Christ and how he changed the world in those 3 days and how he changed your life for him. Or maybe today you're looking for a church body who seeks to honor God through trust and faith in him, and that God's moving, and we're seeking to be patient as he seeks to move us and make a difference in this world. Let me talk to you about First Baptist Deal. Or just maybe today, maybe you've been in that waiting period for an extended period of time. You just need to come to the altar, or you need to talk to me, and I'll pray with you. Wherever you are right now, in the midst of that waiting time, lift it up to God. Be patient. God is working. God is moving. Let's stand and sing this morning. Roundtable meeting. See you tonight.